You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls His people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
And good morning. Good morning here on this beautiful Monday morning here near the end of the month. We've burned through most of April, and hopefully your month has been a positive experience for you. It has been for us. I'm David Francoeur. I'm one of the hosts for this for the front line, and one of our co-hosts is just under the weather today. So, Anne, we're going to be just asking the Lord to bless you and lift you up and fill you with His energy. And His joy, and we know that He'll bring you through this season and there's a better season following. And but the one who is here, my good brother, longtime brother, good friend, companion in ministry, Ed Skiba.
Good morning, David.
Good to
see. Beautiful South Florida morning.
It is.
And this is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen. You, Ann, if you're listening.
That's right. Hopefully you are.
Well, thanks. Make sure your tagline came
on. Exactly. Thank you, Ed, for that.
Oh, yeah. And listen, we need to pray for this country.
Yeah,
Another attempt on our president.
Yeah.
A house divided against itself cannot stand. And we had better get that straight in our heads and get ourselves back together, or we're going to lose this great nation.
We're coming up
on 250-year anniversary, but my goodness, that's about how long Rome lasted, and then they disappeared, probably for a lot of the same reasons.
We have to be aware. I do believe, you know, God got this nation going. God doesn't ever let what He starts die until it's ready to end. We need to be responsible. We need to be prayerful.
Absolutely.
We need to stand firm in the faith today. It's always been true, but the church needs to recapture that commitment. And I'm trusting God is doing it. He's working on it.
Absolutely. Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, listeners, particularly today, if you're not driving, this would be hard if you were driving, but you may want to make some notes. There's going to be some things said today that are very important, and especially if God's touched your heart to listen today, He undoubtedly wants you to learn some things and make some notes. So give you a minute to grab a piece of paper and a pen get ready to do that. We have actually one of our guests is on the way, traffic, a large truck. We're going to blame a large truck, slow large truck for being in the way, but I know she'll be here in a few minutes. And that'd be Robin Campbell. She's been with us before. She has, and I love what God has done in Robin's life. Is she had a hard life as a child, suffering sexual abuse, but out of that, as Christ in her life, instead of moping and walking in the dark side of life because of that, God turned her around. God turned her life around. She now has a mission and a ministry. To bring the Word of God into those dark places, to allow that Word to teach, to inform, and to motivate people, not just to be aware of child abuse in the family, especially, and the child trafficking, which is another aspect we're going to be discussing today, but to take action, to be on the front line. This is why particularly today's title of today's program is critical in understanding what Robin's going to be talking about. And with us also is James Billig. James, welcome to the front line.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Great, great. And you were with us the last time Robin was here. And you're a retired detective. And you worked a lot, probably the latter part of your career, on child sexual abuse and trafficking.
So in the Juvenile Crimes Division. For a stint, and primarily worked in dealing with children and the things that happened to them throughout my whole career. Oh, hey, look at that. How are you? Yeah, right. So we got a full house now.
We got a full house now, Robin. It's good to see you. We just introduced you, and so the folks are kind of interested. I told people who were listening to make notes because I know we're going to give a lot of information out today. And the focal point is child sexual abuse, and I think we also want to go into the area of trafficking, which. James was just talking about this, an area that he's been involved in and continues to be. Before we went on the air, James, we were talking about the fact that when you're a Christian, you don't retire. Even though you retired from law enforcement, you're still actively involved in, I'm going to say, gospel enforcement, because, you know, the real truth of the gospel and how we live it out is meant in how we bring God's truth to the darkness that we live in, that's around us in the world. It is spiritual warfare.
It is.
And both you and Robin are on the front lines of that, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So, Robin, welcome. Give you a chance to catch up. Hello to the folks.
Hello out there. How are you?
Good. I think most of them are pretty good. But I do want to say, I tell you what, at the outset, I just have in my heart, I want to pray for our listeners, and particularly those that are going to be hearing things that are going to frighten them. Primarily because they're involved in the situations we're going to be talking about to one degree or another. Either they themselves are the subject of, or the object, I guess, of a child sex trafficking or sexual abuse, or they're aware of something that's going on. And that for those who are aware, if you haven't moved forward to bring other responsible people into that realm of awareness, that then your job is not done. And I just want to lift up our listeners today. Father God, I already put a lot of the content of my prayer into the commentary, but I just pray, Father, for those who are listening today, and not to turn off the radio because they're starting to feel the fear encroaching, but to stay with it, and Lord, to send them your grace to be able to do that, so that in the course of this program, whatever they hear in what is being said that motivates them to think about taking action, to doing reporting, to bringing proper authorities involved in the heinous aspect of the heinous practice of child sexual abuse and trafficking, that they would be able to do that and be a link in the chain of how law enforcement gets involved in taking these people off the street and putting them in a place where they can't hurt people anymore. And we just ask, Father, for your spirit to move in this way in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, along lines of your prayer, God just put a scripture in my heart. For those of you that are taken aback by some of the things you may hear, and you would have the tendency to turn it off. The scripture said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Amen.
You need to know the truth about what's happening in the world.
Amen. Thank you, Ed. Robin.
Yes, sir.
Get us started.
Well, you know, I've been following along. I've been taking care of ministry safe stuff for our district and things like that. And I'm on getting trainers, but April is the month of sexual abuse survivors awareness. Okay, and I just wanted to put it out there that Ministry Safe right now, up until the 30th, they are offering a free video parent training. There's no cost. You just sign up. You sign. You give yourself a password and whatever user ID you want. And that's at ministrysafe.com, and that's one word, ministrysafe, all smaller case letters, .com. And they can take this free parental training video, and it kind of puts it down. But I brought some notes along about that, you know.
Sure.
And basically, we agree, and I think James would agree too, that our parents are the first and foremost gatekeeper in a child's life, you know. And if the parents don't know what they're looking for and the parents aren't aware of things, then that child's chances of being, of not becoming a victim is, you know, far less than a parent who's much so very aware. So that's why I'm trying to kind of push this training. And, you know, and they go over the facts that you can start teaching young children about what sexuality is. And, of course, you're keeping it age appropriate and stuff like that. But they talk about a two-year-old can know that their body is their own. A three-year-old can have real names for every part of the body, not just pet names, but real names. A four-year-old has the right to say what kind of personal affection they want that's acceptable to them. And that the parent shouldn't be, oh, give auntie or grandma a kiss. If that child does not feel comfortable in doing that, don't make them. And a five-year-old can respect their body and others, you know, and they have the right to decide who they're affectionate with. And if you get to a preteen and you're waiting for the preteen age to stop talking about this, you're too late. The world has already gotten them.
That's right.
Already in the chat rooms. They're already listening. People are already talking to them about it. They're hearing about it at school and stuff like that. You know, you don't want to overwhelm with details in their early years, but you still want to keep them knowledgeable. What's a bathing suit area? What does that look like? You know, and stuff like that. And I think the biggest thing I want to say right now is for this. No matter, you need to tell your child, no matter what you tell me, what another child or adult tells you, no matter what you tell me, you will never get in trouble for telling me if someone's doing something to you. And we need to make sure that we are not blaming them and that we're putting it at the other person who's doing this to them. We're laying that at their feet and not our children's feet. And the biggest words you could tell a child to anyone is, I believe you.
Amen.
Yes.
It takes seven times for a child to tell someone before we believe them.
Wow.
We got to change that. You know, you got to change that. And when we get into the chat rooms and we're getting into this stuff, that's up to the parents to start talking to them. But it's also up to the parents to very carefully monitor what their children are doing, not only at home, what they're doing at church, what they're doing at school, what they're doing when they go to a friend's house, who's the parents of those friends, what games are they playing, you know, and what kind of things are set up to help protect your child, and to not be afraid to say, has anyone made you uncomfortable lately? Has anyone tried to touch you lately? Have that conversation with them. You might be surprised. And then again, what you're doing on the other hand is you're not making that child afraid, but you're giving them reason to protect themselves.
You're developing an atmosphere of trust.
You're developing that trust. And you just, it's a common, and what Ministry Safe encourages is that you have these conversations naturally, not pushed upon, not everything like that. And there are red flags, and they give the red flags there. But, I mean, some of the questions you can ask is, anyone asking you to wrestle a lot lately? Anyone trying to tickle you a lot lately? You know, asking you to keep a secret lately? You know, touching in your bathing suit areas? You know, and it's up to us to be on the watch.
Amen. What? I think I know the answer, but I want to hear from you. All of this information is very helpful. But what keeps parents from following up on this? Because I suspect a lot of parents, they know about sexual abuse, but when it's not knowledge that's being activated in terms of their own children. What keeps parents from actually carrying this conversation into their relationships with their kids?
A lack of knowledge and fear. And fear is the biggest thing.
There's a lot of fears, but what in particular would they report they're afraid of, why they don't cover this ground?
What's it going to do to our family? What's people going to think? What's people going to say? What if it's someone that's well known? You know, and that plays within a parent's mind. What's the family going to think?
Right.
You know, are they going to blame me, you know, for not having vigilance and stuff like that? And the thing is, you got to overcome that fear, and you've got to look the dragon in the face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it happened to my daughter, we sat between us for at least 24 hours to process what she had told us. But then it was like, okay, so we called the police within that time frame. We sat down with her and asked her just to tell us exactly where did he touch her, what did he do, and we called the police, mm-hmm. you know. And then I called family, and I called my parents, and my parents, having already been through this with us, they came out to Denver immediately,
mm-hmm.
and they were there to support us. And, you know, we took her to the police station. They explained the process. They took her into a room and tried to get her to describe what was going on. She was young, so she didn't have the words to articulate what was going on. And so they didn't think the case would last. But then we let our church people know, and only a few people. We only let the pastor know and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so they could start the process of making sure that there was no one else that this suspect had done, you know, touched or messed with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you have to overcome that fear and say, no matter what, it's up to me to protect my child. And the lack of knowledge, there's no reason in this day and age they don't know mm-hmm. about sexual abuse.
That's right.
Yeah, great. I mean, Robin brings up some great points. And I think how we need to look at it, for a parent needs to look at it. You know, you have two separate threats. You've got an electronic threat, and then you have an in-person threat. The scary part is when the two converge, when it starts in the virtual world and ends up becoming an actual physical engagement. And she's 100% right. It's fear. It's fear of the unknown and having to validate the fact that this might be going on. But, you know, we have to accept the fact that this is the fastest growing crime in the world. United States is number one, and we're number three here in Florida. So, you know, here locally, and people should understand, you know, Texas ranks number two for these crimes, and we're fast approaching surpassing them. So vigilance right now is more important than ever. And you're 100% right, Robin. The way that we create some serious change in this is to approach this at a child at a time and a parent engaging with their child. You have to be able to engage the child at an age that's more uncomfortable for you than it is for them, mm-hmm. because they're far more comfortable with the conversation than you are because they're curious. It's funny how we talk about kids like we were never one, you know? And it's funny how we talk about an older generation like we're not going to be that. We went through these things when we were young. We were curious. And if they have access to any type of electronic device, the moment that they gain access to that, doesn't matter whose it is, if it's yours, you have to have a conversation with them, because the way that it's working right now with this online deviance and the contacting of children, it's a epidemic, and we are way behind the bell curve on being able to combat it. The conversation you should be having with a 3 or 4 year old who's holding your phone is at some point in time, contacted on a game, in a chat room, and you will be approached. And these are the things that they're going to ask you to do, and you can't do those things. But great point, Robin. If you do, it's okay. You can come to me and mm-hmm. tell me, and we will approach this and attack this the appropriate way. But under no circumstances are you to take action based on anything you did and what they're trying to tell you to do. Because the sextortion problem of children sending a photo to somebody and them turning around and starting to make them do things is getting out of control.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With their ultimate ambition is to convince that child to take their own life. That's the ultimate ambition. So mm-hmm. of these cult members. So, you know, it's a broad subject, but to touch on it, that is the ultimate end game for them.
And I would say parents need to be aware that this isn't some creepy fellow or person who's wearing the trench coat anymore.
Mm.
This is a person who speaks Childrenese, okay? Mm-hmm. They know how to talk like a child, and they know how to interact like a child, because some part of them is still that child.
That's right.
And they're a child magnet, so they know how to get these children involved. And they make it seem to be so simple and so fun to start out with. You know, hey, just, you know, do whatever.
I think they normalize it.
They do.
They try to normalize it.
Because the child's first instinct would be, this feels wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite comfortable with it, you know, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But they continue to tell you, they get it to the point where it feels good. Well, of course it's going to feel good for a little bit.
Yep.
But then that consciousness in us begins to kick in, especially in children. Something feels off. And so we need to let our children know that if something feels off, that it's okay to tell us that this person in this chat room, in this game, is doing this. Because I'm sure if they could contact law enforcement and tell mm-hmm. them where they were at, what mm-hmm. the child was playing on, because there's a history in your phone. And even if the child knows how to erase the history, there's still a history in your phone.
For the most part, yeah. A lot of these sexual deviants will use different chatting apps like Snapchat and Discord, mm-hmm. so where it doesn't leave a forensic footprint. So it doesn't, you know, those are the things you have to worry about. And the average time that it takes to groom a child is about 8 minutes.
Yep.
And wow. and boys actually are quicker to engage. Girls are a little more standoffish when it comes to it, but they get the engagement from boys much quicker. So it's all grooming, whether it be in-person grooming or virtual grooming. They have effective tools that they utilize to find the weakness and get these kids to engage. It's a matter of just baiting them and saying the things that they want to hear at first, and then you slow roll them until you develop the trust.
Mm-hmm.
Then you make the switch on them. By that time, it's too late. They're always going to be seeking that initial approval and praise that they were getting from you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what grooming is.
Yeah. And we're getting back to parents being the primary gatekeepers. And we're talking now about social media, particularly social media. But over and above just that is beginning to develop a conversation with your children.
Right.
Where you can cover the ground you need to cover. But I suspect that there are parents that now in the hearing of this, especially, excuse me, goodness, but they don't know how to start the conversation, and they are a little afraid of what they might or might not do to the child because of bringing this stuff up. So is there a resource or several resources interested and concerned parents can turn to that would help them begin that conversation and inform them about how to keep it up?
Yeah, there's a lot of good resources out there, but you can start with even Focus on the Family, because mm-hmm. a lot of times they address these issues, and they address it from a Christian perspective.
Yep.
You know, Ministry Safe or Protect My Ministry, you can find a number of things that will help you learn how to start that conversation. Again, it goes back to the age. You have to start at an age where it starts becoming a natural conversation, you know, where you're sitting down and you say to them, hey, you know, just out of curiosity, is there anyone you don't feel comfortable around? Anything that's happening that you don't feel comfortable with? And, you know, again, that's that trust part, James. You have to build that relationship, because if you're waiting until they're a preteen, by that time, they're like, what do you care?
Mm-hmm.
They get that attitude.
I was going to ask you about that. At what age do you think
it used to be a whole lot later.
Becomes ineffective.
The first time I've sassed my mom back like that.
I think Robin hit on her earlier. 2 years old is a good age to start mm-hmm. for worrying about the physical contact. And then the moment that a child has an electronic device in their hand, any type of access, be it a mm-hmm. video game that goes online, that's when you need to start having opening up the dialogue with them. I just wanted to add on to that. We offer a parent's handbook at United Against Child Trafficking. If anybody wants one, you can just email us at info@u-act.org. Mm-hmm. And we'll provide that for you.
James, just for a moment, because the issue of child trafficking has been in the news, certainly, more hopefully enough to, you know, make people aware that it is happening. You said Florida is number 3 in the nation as far as states where this is happening. But define child trafficking for us. Some people don't really know exactly what that means.
Yeah, so the distinction between human trafficking and child trafficking really starts off from an adult and a minor. Most people don't know the difference.
Yeah.
So typically, you're adult trafficking is for labor and for prostitution. We really don't even call it prostitution from the clinical reference of it now, because there's no more freelance people out there doing it. They're typically involved in some type of trafficking organization where there's a a handler and a trafficker. For children, you know, it's anything that's under the age of 18, where that child's being forced to do something, whether it be a family doing it or it being done in an organized way. We are seeing the major increase in familial trafficking, something that spanned out of COVID to get much worse. And the scary part is that, you know, those numbers are rising. And so it the child market right now has become huge. We here in the United States, most of the kids who were coming across and being sold were coming from the southern border.
Mm-hmm.
And we had obviously a very large influx of tens of thousands of children who had been coming on for an extended period of time. The average lifespan of a child who's trafficked is about 7 years. So when you look at what our threat is moving forward for domestic children who are here now, the influx of the supply coming across the southern border has been stopped now for about a year. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you think about the tens of thousands of kids who come across the border who are being sold throughout the country lasting about 7 years. With that influx stopping, what is the shelf life of those children? Because they are, you know, forced to perform sometimes 20, 30 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And they typically die from suicide, drug overdose, or their body just gives out.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about, a lifespan that's probably going to become much shorter because demand has not decreased, it's increased, and the supply is less.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we going to see in the future? We could quite possibly see a lot of kids in our country who are runaways, not returning home, and to fill that void of meeting demand for these traffickers.
Wow.
What do you attribute the lessened supply to?
The fact that we're not getting a fresh demand from the southern border. I mean, we had, all of South America feeding this industry, Asia feeding the industry by sending people through South America and through Mexico to push them into the country.
It's pretty obvious that our audience are people that are interested and engaged in what we're trying to do. Do you have any ideas on what to do about a friend of their child who you can see is in a situation that their parents are ignoring? You know, is there a line that they should cross? And I guess we can
let's hold that. Let's take a little break, and then when we come back, if you have a question for James or for Robin, you can reach us at 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100, and I'll repeat that invitation when we come back from the break.
What happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
And welcome back to the front line. And if you want to call, if you have a question or a comment, the number is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And we're back with Robin Campbell and James Billig. And the topic is child sexual abuse and trafficking. And we were on a point just when we took the break. And I don't remember where we were. You were formulating an answer. So I'm just going to throw it back out at you.
He was asking about friends and, you know, what to do with, you know, your children who may have a friend that might need help. And parents are obviously the first line of defense with this.
Amen.
Okay. And having them engage with it. But you may have a situation where there isn't a parent. Single parent households have a higher propensity to have children who were trafficked than dual parent households. Excluding familial trafficking, where the parents are the actual deviants. Parents, friends of who have kids who have friends that they come to you, you need to serve as a trusted adult in any circumstance. It's kind of our goal here. You know, the odds are stacked against us when you're dealing electronically and in person with deviants, right? Acknowledging that the evil exists is the first line of defense, because we can't combat evil until we accept that it's real.
Amen.
So being a parent who has, you know, other children around, being aware of these things, looking for the signs in kids, behavioral changes, things of that nature, is really important. Because if you start to see a child become more recluse, not speaking, not making eye contact anymore, and you see that change in them, mm-hmm. It's important to take note of that, because you may be, you know, the mother of the friend. You may be the only trusted adult in their life, and you have to seize that opportunity. Typically, this is the way that we train in law enforcement officers. You may only have one shot to save a kid before mm-hmm. it's too late. Mm-hmm. And keeping that in mind, you don't know what they're going home to. So being cognizant of those things, doing things like reading the handbook that we offer, you know, there's a plenty of information online right now and in video to show you what those signs look like so you can take action immediately.
And that you point to something. We talk again about parents being the primary gatekeepers, but parents aren't always engaged with their children. And this is a big problem. So they're not paying attention for whatever reason. But there are other people in their lives who can and do notice. And what are their responsibilities?
The same thing. You know, we teach a lot of seminars where there's grandparents in the room. And, you know, you start getting the baby boomer generation that they can't handle this. You know, the really diving deep into the topic is difficult. You know, it's difficult to accept. It's very dark, and it's something that we imagined in our lifetimes. Me, you know, 56 years old, I didn't think we'd be dealing with this even when I first got into law enforcement. I never imagined this threat becoming so big.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around for a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
But enter into the digital world, and we've just given it a exponential boost.
Yeah.
So, you know, the baby boomer generation, the grandparent generation, you know, getting into the nuts and bolts of it, it's tough for them. But they want to take action. They want to be able to have answers. And I think where we've, you know, really been frustrated is, we can sit around, we can tell these horror stories all day long, but what can I do about it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's first of all, it's prevention. You know, if you got a grandchild, and if the parents aren't doing it, if they've dumped the child onto that electronic device, and you're watching your son and daughter, you know, allowing the children to be raised in a virtual world, mm-hmm. then take action. And you have the conversation with them as a grandparent. Say, hey, by the way, you know, if you're on your, I mean, what games do you play? And ask them, do you play mm-hmm. games like Roblox or Minecraft? Mm-hmm. Do you play Grand Theft Auto? When you're playing those games, do other kids chat with you and try and pull you off into different chat rooms to have a conversation with you? And then make them aware that, hey, that's dangerous, because mm-hmm. if the minute they take you off the game platform and bring you into a private chat, that's where they have their hold on you. Mm-hmm. Here's the crux of it. As a parent, you have two options. You can be the person who's going to influence your child when they get online and kind of give them some parameters to follow to not fall into these traps, or someone else is going to do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to pull that child in easily if you do not arm them with any course of action when it happens, because they're very good at what they do.
Yeah.
And the second aspect of that, too, is, you know, we have chatbots out there. We, you know, AI is being used in that way to groom and lure kids. They take their own words, turn them around, and use them right back on them. So it's better than any human can do. They're speaking to them in their own private language, and they're telling them every single thing, every nuance of what they want to hear. They're regurgitating it right back to them. It doesn't take very long to groom them at that point.
I would think. Robin, you
I was going to also say that you asked about if a friend of your child is going through this. We have to watch out for peer-on-peer abuse, too, because if your child's friend is doing this, there might be that that child is exhibiting some of the same behaviors that, you know, that James talked about. Right. You know, they lose interest in someone. They don't want to do that same activity anymore. They don't want to be around someone. But, you know, and that could include children, you know, and it's usually a three-age difference when this happens. But we talk about going into the rooms, the chat rooms, and the things I hear from students at school is, they're my friend. And it's kind of like, I want to say, where does your friend live? Close are they to you?
Do they
come to school with you? Have you ever seen their picture? Do you know them? You know, parents can ask that question. And they need to ask that question, you know, how do you know this person? How do you know? Because like you said, they can get in there and just find how your child talks and thinks, because the way your child reacts in a chat room is how they think. And these predators are just waiting for the one that's, you know, that's outside the boundary, that is kind of isolated, that kind of is what we would call a geek, you know, they're just one of those types of kids, you know, and a lot of times they do come from single parent homes. Okay. They're far more easy to become a victim.
Sure.
Because if it's a mom or if it's a dad or even if it's grandparents, they're too busy trying to make a living, to make ends meet, to actually meet the emotional need of the child. And so these predators, these people in these chat rooms are on it. As soon as they say, well, mom doesn't care, I'm all by myself, dad's in prison, you know, whatever, I'm living with grandma and grandpa and they don't have time for me, whatever the case is, this person is going, he or she is going to jump at that opportunity to say, hey, you've always got me to talk to, I'm right here for you. And he plays into that. And now all of a sudden, they've got that attention, they've got that feeling of belonging. And that's what these predators go for. They want that child to feel like they belong. And what they're doing is deviantly making them belong to them for their evil purposes. And we've got to, as Christian parents, we've got to make sure our child knows that they belong into the family of God. Amen. That God loves them, that they are God's child, you know, and that we're always there for them, even if it seems like we're busy. We should never be so busy that we don't have time to sit down and talk with our children and just have normal, everyday, one-on-one conversation. Moms, sit with your daughters and talk to them. Dads, sit down with your boys and talk to them. Moms, take your boys out on dates. Take them out someplace, their favorite place to eat, get them some ice cream, whatever. Dads, do the same thing. Show them what a normal relationship is supposed to look like. And don't be afraid to show affection for each other. I mean, don't go overboard, but I mean, at the same time, show that love and concern for your mate, your spouse, and their parent as you can, you know, because trust and respect is started, again, at home. And we are the gatekeepers. But then it comes to then when they go to school, the teachers have to be the gatekeepers. When they're at church, anyone who is an adult in the church should be, needs to be, a gatekeeper. And, you know, and that's all. You have to ask questions. Who are you talking to? How do you vet the people coming through you? They do background checks. What else do you do besides a background check? You know, because there's always some kind of history, some kind of something. So, you know, when we get them out to these clubs and these places, we need to make sure that we know where we're taking our child to, so that, you know. And the other thing is, and I can't stress this enough. What do you think, James? Be present in their life.
Yeah, I mean, we're our own worst enemies nowadays when it comes to this. Mm-hmm. You know, my oldest daughter, she was young, that was when the portable DVD players came out. Mm-hmm. And we were guilty of it. We bought one, and when we go to dinner, but she wanted to watch a Disney movie, we pop it up, but it wasn't interactive. I mean, everything now is interactive. So, you know, they're sitting around the dinner table on your cell phone. But if you know, child's sitting three or four hours a day and going to school, but they're 3 or 4 hours a day on their phone, they're getting far more interaction from everybody else than they are from you. Mm-hmm. So, sure. You know, the messages that you are trying to teach to them are going to get lost in all that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, taking every opportunity, like Robin said, to actually physically interact with your child is vitally important, especially now. Odds are stacked against them. This is something that's, you know, obviously growing. Yeah, so it's not going to go the other way, and we're not going to be able to stop it on a national level. We're not going to shut the internet down. So let's be realistic about how we're going to solve the problem. It's one child at a time. So, and education and prevention are key. Enforcement is secondary to that.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, when it gets to the enforcement level, all those other options have not been taken, mm-hmm. or they failed,
right,
for whatever reason. Something that's been just bopping around in my head, and I just want to throw it out, because we know that there are children who are being abused sexually, and the parents aren't aware, other family members aren't aware. And it may, and in some cases, I'm just assuming, knowing people as I do, that there are some people that are observing the behavior of a child who's being abused, and they're concerned. They may not actually know abuse is going on, but their concern is enough. They've gone to the parents with no effect, maybe the grandparents with no effect. They're not family. They're not blood kin. They're not in any way connected, except out of a concern for this child. What do they do? What if they've gone, or maybe they haven't gone to the parents, but they don't know to do that. But let's say they go and they're rebuffed. Nobody wants to know about that. I mean, if someone's really concerned, what recourse do they have?
You have to report it.
Yeah, it's NCMEC Cyber Tip Line.
Mm-hmm.
National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. It's NCMEC.
NCMEC.
Yeah, and there's a cyber tip line there. Mm-hmm. You can call it in or go through their cyber tip line, and it is 800-843-5678.
Okay.
800-843-5678. You can stay anonymous, but NCMEC is Department of Homeland Security is their, you know, mm-hmm. entrusted tip line, and then everything filters down through jurisdiction after that. So that's basically the McGruff for child sex trafficking.
Yeah.
So that's the safest and most efficient way for you to report a tip. And, you know, you just need to make that decision. Again, one shot, right? So if the tip doesn't work out that was the actual case, maybe in some other way that child needs help. But if the parents are too blind to acknowledge it and you have to take action, then so be it. You know, we talk about see something, say something. I've been saying it in the active shooter world forever. It is now more than ever more prevalent that needs to be exercised throughout our country right now. Again, you know, you brought up the shooting the other day, you know, another attempt on the president's life, and you know, the leakage was there. The family members knew. Nobody said anything until it was too late. But it's in the active shooter world, it's always that way, and it's the same way in this world too. Very very similar traits with our suspects and our victims, that people know what's going on. They don't say anything until it's too late.
Well, and, you know, in today, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
In today's society, if you see something going on with someone else's child, and you start saying, "Hey, we've got a problem here. You better check this kid out. There's something going on here." The immediate response from the parent is, "Mind your own business."
Sure.
Yeah. What are you doing with my kid? That's none of You know, there's so many distractions in the world, and there's such a laxness in morality in today's society that most parents just don't see anything wrong with the kids having all kinds, not most, but many parents don't feel anything wrong with the kids having freedom in sexuality. And that, our kids, the Christian kids, are then exposed to that. And that's another avenue that they can be penetrated from.
But not only when you're teaching them at these ages what's acceptable and what's not, you're also arming them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so there's different ways. I mean, and I know you've seen it on the news where someone does the sign and they put up four fingers and then they lay them down.
Right.
For help me.
Help me. Yeah.
Okay? We've seen where the one late young girl was on an airplane, mm-hmm. and she went to the lavatory and she wrote a note, and the flight attendant was able to help save her. You know, these happen over and over again. But we've got to teach our children, if they see something, to say something. If someone does something to them, not to be afraid to step up to another mm-hmm. adult and say that person is, you know. And if they're being kidnapped, you know, they're being taken, mm-hmm. scream as loud as you can.
Yes.
Make a noise.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they're not children and they are young adults, I've always told my daughter, please, please, please be careful. If you see a $100 bill on your windshield, don't take it.
Yeah.
Be careful when you go to grab your hand, your car handle, because now they're putting drugs that just knock you out.
Mm.
You know, and if you're in the store and people on social media kind of poo-paw this off and, oh, you're too, it's a conspiracy theory and stuff like that. Not if you're being followed in the store and you're noticing people taking pictures, and it's not just men, it's women too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, and your situational awareness, I mean, it's the way we trained it. If it doesn't seem right, it probably isn't. Yep. And you need to trust your instincts, because we do see far too much of that on social media, where all these things are happening and people are more concerned about reporting it on social media than they are than getting
cops.
Law enforcement involved.
Yeah.
And it's very frustrating, because these things happen and, you know, you finally end up calling the police after it's all said and done. And like, well, you could have called us 5 minutes earlier, you know, and we could have actually taken action. But now you've left us in a situation. We got to track somebody down.
Right.
It's much easier to corner somebody when the crime's taking place than it is afterwards. So don't worry. I think I can kind of speak for the people who are still receiving the 911 calls. Please call first and get somebody out there. They're working anyway, so you may as well just make the call.
Yeah. I mean, if you're seeing it happening in the store and they're chasing you, I'd be on the phone calling 911 instead of looking for an employee, because I may not find an employee in time. You know, if someone is concerning me, I'm going to call the police and I'm going to say, hey, I'm being followed. I'm in such and such store. And, you know,
especially in a big box store,
you know,
Walmart, someplace like that.
Yeah, because, I mean, they can have several members of that trafficking.
Exactly.
That's in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that one of them's following you. And then another one picks up and follows you. And then they're watching you going out to your car and they're mm-hmm. taking note of it. Yeah. You know,
it's a pattern, and majority of these things are patterns. Mm-hmm. And you may have an individual that's been doing this for 6 months that they've been trying to catch, and you're not aware of it. And here you are having them committing the same crime, and by not calling, you know, they may know exactly who it is. So, because these people tend to go to target-rich environments and go places where they've had success.
Yeah.
And so they will continue to do that.
You know, James, at this point, before we went on the air, you were sharing with me a law enforcement move that you were involved in, and you wanted to know if we could, what we can discuss on the air. I think it might be helpful to, from your experience, in particular this one event that you were involved in, to talk about the enforcement side of child trafficking and child sexual abuse. And particularly, I know there's a lot you can't talk about it because it's still in process, but particularly, how did you get to know about these issues? Was there someone or someones who put out the alert? They saw things happening as an encouragement, you know, to the people that we're talking to point out when you see something or are concerned. whatever you want to do on that issue, James.
Yeah, so this is a case that'll be coming public here probably the next day or two because the arrests have been processed for the three suspects. But this is a case that started in another state that ended up with Homeland Security here locally. And it's an individual who traveled to another state who had groomed a child online, and they drove to that state and sexually battered that child. And, you know, this is something that was a multi-state issue, so it became a federal issue. And it was a matter of, you know, making the arrest on him last week, that which rolled into a much larger problem. Mm-hmm. And that was that sexual abuse was taking place within the home, not just by this deviant, but by two other family members on minors there. So this is a whole brand new snowball of a case that is actually pretty common. So when you start peeling the layers back, you don't realize what you have. So that's why it's important. You know, we're talking about seeing something and it doesn't seem right. You know, when you finally delve into this world of deviance, it's very deep. You talked about background checks earlier. I mean, most sexual predators do not have a background.
Right.
You know, because it's a crime that flags you, you know, so it's hard to be a repeat offender, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why so many are running with impunity, because they tend to put themselves in trusted positions. We've seen a major influx in teachers being arrested here lately. I keep emailing myself so I can report on them.
Yeah.
But it's just been one after another. And it's just a trend. And it's not that teachers are sexual deviants. It's sexual deviants put themselves in teaching positions so they can feed their need.
Sure.
So in this particular case, it was extremely dark, extremely horrific. But it was a tip that came in from the initial victim that created this. So as horrific as it is, and you say, you know, we got this victim in another state that this has happened to, and now she's been saved, and she's not going to be affected by this guy anymore. Mm. It ended up netting the saving of two other children, very young children. So, yeah, it's such a horrific, dark world. You got to take the wins when you can get them.
Yes.
And I walked away last week after we had, you know, finished everything up and everybody was leaving. And I walked away and said to my friend at Homeland Security, hey, end of the day, as bad as this was, save two kids today.
Yeah.
That's it. Save two kids today. And that was the win out of it. I mean, it's all you can do at that point, you know?
Yeah. But I know if you're a believer, especially, but if you have a heart for kids, if you're listening right now and you're saying, gosh, yeah, I appreciate the fact that two kids, you take the wins where you can find them, but why can't we have more wins?
Because we need our victims to start speaking up.
Good. Tell me more about that.
Okay. And listen, as a survivor and as an overcomer of this, if you are a sexual assault victim, you may be a teenager, you may be a young adult, you may know some children, you deserve to be acknowledged and to be believed and to tell your story. Only 60% of adults who are ever victimized ever tell anyone, and they wait until they're an adult to say something. But if you know of a child that's going through this and your thinking is it's going to ruin their family, it's going to ruin everything, it's already ruined that child's life.
Yeah.
But through God's redeeming grace, it can be redeemed and it can be something.
Yeah.
So if you are a victim of sexual abuse, if you know something that's going on, and in your mind it just keeps replaying, please understand there's forgiveness and there's grace. You know, you can forgive someone without ever having to participate in that person's life again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can walk free from that.
Yes.
But you have to forgive so you release yourself from the prison you're in.
Yes.
So find that. And if you can't find it within yourself, you never will. You got to do that through the grace of God. If you're a parent whose child has been victimized, stop beating yourself up. Go get counseling. Lay it at the feet of God and say, here it is. You know, if you see something that's going on and you know, please, for the child's sake, for the teenager's sake, for the young adult, for your sake, talk about it and tell someone and call someone, call the hotline, call whatever you need to do to say, hey, I need help. Focus on the Family has counselors. You can call them and you can talk with them, okay? So, you know, there's resources out there, and I would say find those resources. But again, you see something, you know something, say something.
Amen.
The only way we're going to be able to do this is if we work together, but we've got to take the first steps within ourselves. And if you're an abuser, if you're a trafficker, and you think you're hiding, let me tell you what, you may not be caught by the law, but you'll eventually be
stand
caught.
Before God.
Just stand before God, and that'll be a bad scene for you.
You know, so, I mean, there's one person besides yourself who knows what you're doing. And guess what? There's a whole lot of other people who know what you're doing. So be careful. Get out of it.
Yep.
Stop it.
Stop it. Amen. Time's almost, speaking of stopping it, our time is almost up. Amazing how these hours go by. Like, we got a couple of minutes, but is, I'm trying to figure out how to frame this question, because there are some pastors that listen into this program, and maybe some of them are thinking, you know, we need to jump on this. Are there any resources that we could invite to come into the church to teach? James, talk about that.
Contact us at UACT. Yeah, I mean, you can contact our info, email at info@u-act.org, and we are happy to come in to your ministry and speak. It's incumbent upon the ministries to be leading the charge.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one thing we've experienced is that they're afraid to do so. They don't want to drive congregation away with an uncomfortable subject matter. Unfortunately, what you need to be aware of, the people who don't want to engage in this content might be a deviant themselves. Who knows?
Amen.
You have to take care of your own house, right, and police your own house.
Sorry to interrupt, but how do they get a hold of UACT?
info@u-act.org. And I invite anybody who's listening who's on social media to just go to u-act on Facebook and like and follow us. We put out updates all week long. We have video shorts, resources, anything you can imagine is interactive. We like to have more of the community engaged and commenting on what we're doing. We have parenting task forces. And we've just brought somebody on board to really increase our engagement on social media, so parents can have more of a local resource, especially here in the Treasure Coast.
Amen. Thank you. And to pastors who are listening, if you aren't already aware, in your congregation, there's probably child sexual abuse going on in the families.
Absolutely. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And you're responsible as a shepherd.
Amen.
To bring this to the sheep.
Absolutely. Because there's let me tell you something. It's a broken system right now. You know, I'm coming from the Roman Catholic world, you know, growing up. And we need a little self-inventory and some honesty about what we're talking about here.
Amen.
And people need to step up and actually take this horse by the reins.
Amen. So very seriously do that. Well, gosh, you know, I don't always say when we have guests, you're going to come back, but you're going to have you back, and we will, because there's so much more to talk about. If the people of God won't be relentless in speaking about sin, then we're failing miserably, our own people, not to mention the unbelievers who are listening. We've got to talk about and especially this, so it's a heinous crime. Young, innocent children, and many are marked for life. Now, God can save, you know, but why even let them get to that point? Exactly. That's our job. We're failing. Let's do a better job.
Let's,
and that's all I
gatekeepers.
Got time to say, except
be
thanks.
Gatekeepers.
We're the gatekeepers.
Amen.
Let's be it. Let's do it.
Amen.
Thanks for coming.
Absolutely.
Rob and James.
Absolutely.
We'll be back next week, God willing.
Amen.
Take care.
Take care.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front lines.